T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic to be here with you guys on a Monday edition of the show. Michael Stathakis is going at it. You know, it's really, you know, one of the things when we got our, and I said, Lonzo, I wasn't going to talk about this much anymore because each day, each week is a new game, right? But one of the things that I was really happy about when the last time the ratings came out in October was our time spent listening was really high, right? That's the average amount of time that you guys spend listening to the show every single week relative to other shows. Offsides was doing very, very well, right? You guys are sticking and staying and listening, and it's beautiful, and I appreciate that so much. But, you know, I just dropped the random Stathakis mention in, and true to form, he responds right away. I get the sense that any time of the show that I said that, he would be responding right away. And we appreciate that very, 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 very much. He says, there's a bunch of guys here in Greenville that played college soccer and are still in damn good shape. It would be a good game. College soccer guys at 35. Not at 35, Michael. Not at 35. It wouldn't be a good game. Yeah, are we talking John Harkes here?
This sounds like a challenge. I think you've just dissed all those guys who played soccer.
Lonzo, all we have to do, Lonzo, I'm sure you'll pull strings for us, Lonzo. All we have to do is get the entire U.S. women's national team down here.
Well, I just got to mention, you just mentioned John Harkes' name. Now you're friends with him, or it seems you seem to be friendly, so that would be the guy to make it happen, not me. So I would have the connection.
Remind me the next time we have Coach Harkes on to ask him about that, because I would love to know his assessment, his take on that, and all of the above. I would just love to hear how it goes. And why haven't we seen who was it, Lonzo? Like Billie Jean King played somebody in tennis, right? And it was called the Battle of the Sexes. Who did she play? You remember? Bobby Riggs or something like that.
Who was a comedian or something like that? Yeah.
No, but she played somebody in tennis and she beat him, and it was a really big deal. Why haven't we seen more of that? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm pretty sure Serena did that. I could be wrong, but I thought she did.
You know, I think men assume that, like, you could just round up a bunch of LeBron James and they would beat women in soccer. And LeBron James isn't that good in soccer. He's incredibly athletic, but you don't need to have all of this brawn and speed in soccer. You need to have technical sound. 11 LeBron James would not beat the United States women's national team unless they had years of soccer training. You can't just throw them out there and say, hey, beat them. No chance. Skiing balls over the bar, not getting anywhere close to the net with your shots. I mean, you know, it's guys like Stathakis that actually believe this. Come on, man. Come on. All right, it is time to do that little ditty that we call the top five at five, the top five biggest sports stories of the day, the top five topics we're discussing. Ladies and gentlemen, the top five at five starts right now. Hit it. All right, at number five. You know, Shane Beamer is the guy right now that has all the buzz around him for the South Carolina coaching position. And I just want to make myself clear right now. on Shane so that people don't think that I'm hiring, that I'm hating after the hire happens? Folks, I would not hire Shane Beamer, all right? Last week, we gave you the A, B, C, D, F scores for the different candidates, okay? I said Billy Napier for me would be the A. Scott Satterfield from Louisville would be the B. Steve Sarkisian from Alabama would be the C. Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina would be the D. And Shane Beamer would be the F. Now, saying that he wouldn't be my choice and that I wouldn't hire him does not mean that I believe that he can't be really, really good. It just means that South Carolina would be throwing their Dabo Hail Mary, because Dabo had no experience at coordinator, had no experience at head coach when he landed the job at Clemson. If you think you've landed the next Dabo Sweeney, go ahead. But we haven't, you know, you and I and everybody else, we're not in those interview meetings. We don't know if he's blowing our socks off in those meetings. I also would not have drafted Carson Wentz in the top five. Why? Don't trust the sample size at North Dakota State. I would have been right on that. I wouldn't have drafted Luka Doncic of the Mavericks in the top five. Don't trust who he's playing against over in Europe. I would have been wrong on that one. But the principle remains, right? There's proof there that you can overcome that. But I'm not comfortable. This hire for the Gamecocks is way too important to just throw it to somebody who's never even done it before, who's never even been the Robin before, right? Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, those are the Robin to the Batman as the head coach. Shane Beamer has been none of the above. If I ask you guys this question point blank, would he be in this position if his last name wasn't Beamer? How would you answer that? I think you know in your heart of hearts the correct answer to that question. And I just feel, honestly, and I don't mean to talk down to anybody here, but I feel bad for you guys. I feel bad for Lonzo. Lonzo's like, man, anybody's better than what we had. Folks, if you're a single guy, you don't just date anybody because they're better than what you have, which is nothing. You don't do that. You have standards. You wait for the right person to come along, right? South Carolina's got a hell of a lot to offer here. You can do better than somebody who was an assistant coach. You can do better than somebody who the alumni love, who the fans like, but has no experience whatsoever. Billy Napier is that guy. It's time to open up your pocketbook and pay for him. Next up. All right. At number four today here on the show, we have the college football playoff. Now, our picks and predictions for the college football playoff. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is who ultimately will be in and the order in which they will be in the college football playoff. I am going to go number one, Alabama. I think they go in undefeated. I will say number two is going to be Clemson, who beats Notre Dame. Number three, I'll say Ohio State. But number four, I'm going to go with the Aggies. I'm going to go with Texas A&M. If you had the choice right now of being in Florida's predicament and controlling your own destiny, or A&M's predicament and not controlling your own destiny, who would you pick? Texas A&M just can sit back and beat non-top 25 teams and hope they get in. Florida has a chance to play their way in, but they've got to beat Alabama to do it. Who would you rather be in that scenario? But I think Clemson's going to put it on Notre Dame well enough to knock the Fighting Irish out of this thing. And then I think people are going to be comparing, okay, well, A&M lost far earlier in the year. They lost to Alabama. Notre Dame lost it right at the end of the year. They got smoked by Clemson. And that is going to be how this thing sizes up. Next up. All right, here at number three, Sarah Fuller, the Vanderbilt kicker, broke through a glass ceiling of sorts as she became the first female to play in a Power 5 conference game, having a kickoff for the Vanderbilt Commodores. They said that it was a called squib kick. She kicked it to the 33-yard line. Lonzo, chauvinist as he is, says that was not a squib kick. That was the best she could do. Unfortunately, we didn't have the chance to see anything further. Vandy sucks so bad, their coach got fired, but they stink so bad that they could never, she was not in position to kick an extra point. They didn't score touchdowns. They weren't even in position to kick a field goal at any point in this particular game. So it just brings to light an interesting question for me. Does this now that we've had a woman play in a Power 5 conference game, does this represent the ceiling for what we're going to see here? You know, we recently saw in professional sports, Derek Jeter has hired a female general manager to manage his Miami Marlins. That shattered a glass ceiling. I think we're very close to having a female president. I think Kamala Harris is in line to do that. And I think we're really close to having a female NBA head coach. But where do you see this going athletically? Is this as far as it goes? You know, do you think there will ever be a full-time woman on a men's team, either collegiately or professionally? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And I'd love to hear your impressions of what you saw over the weekend. I, for one, thought it was really interesting. I thought it was compelling. I just wish we had gotten a chance to actually see her kick. Next up, North Carolina and Notre Dame was the game that everyone was talking about heading into the weekend, and I really never understood why. The game basically looked the way I thought it would, ladies and gentlemen. I thought North Carolina was overrated since the preseason. I have felt that Notre Dame is a really good football team since the preseason. And, you know, it wasn't a blowout by any stretch. At one point, North Carolina had a 14-7 lead. And then the Fighting Irish outscored them 24-7 the rest of the way. This incredibly potent North Carolina offense was held to 78 yards in the second half. Just completely shut their asses down, did the Fighting Irish. And they beat them the way you would expect a true top five team to beat a top 20 team on the road. They won going away. They won by two touchdowns. No one is doubting whether Notre Dame was the better of the two teams in that game. It further illustrates, though, just how desperately the All Cupcakes Conference needs Notre Dame to be a full-time member. What you learned on Saturday is that Notre Dame is two touchdowns better than the best of anything the ACC has to offer. And if they're two touchdowns better than North Carolina, how much better is Clemson than everybody when at full strength? We saw that last year. No one was close. It was 30-plus points. What did they hang 60 points on Virginia in the ACC championship game a year ago? So I think the ACC, for legitimacy purposes, definitely needs the Fighting Irish. Can they bat their eyelashes enough? Have they made a good enough case to have Notre Dame give up their independence after this season? Inquiry minds want to know, but Notre Dame has added an air of legitimacy to the ACC's efforts this season. And finally, all right, so in a very, very close contest, the Kansas City Chiefs, Lonzo's Kansas City Chiefs, beat my Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-24 yesterday. Incidentally, Lonzo had a chance to pick up a game on me. We did our wise guy's wisdom picks. We agreed on every damn thing. And Lonzo did not take his New England Patriots over the Arizona Cardinals, and they beat the Cardinals yesterday.
They're not mine. And here's the mistake. Don't give me your picks first, because
I'm trusting that you're going to be legitimate and you're going to pick who you think is
going to
win.
Well, I absolutely thought Arizona would win that game. So
All right. So anyway, very close game last night. Chiefs beat the Buccaneers. Ryan Clark says of ESPN says, it's time to stop blaming the coaching. Tom Brady just isn't playing well.
Tom Brady has to take some of this as well. He's been off target more than anybody in the NFL 87 times. That ain't coaching. Having an open guy and not putting the ball on him isn't coaching. That is player-led. That is player-driven. And at some point, we're going to have to stop saying that everything that ever happens bad to Tom Brady is because he has bad coaching. No, say it. Number 12 ain't playing good. They can change some things, yes, but 12 has to be better, and he even said it himself.
12 is 43. We've only ever had one player in NFL history play at this age. All right? I mean, Tom Brady's about to...
Excuses.
Well, Lonzo, who do you like that's played well at 43? Anybody?
I played really well at my job at 43. We'll see what you do.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm 43 right now. I think we're kicking some ass. The bottom line is there are reasons and there are excuses, and Tom Brady's 43. That is a reason here.
That absolutely is an excuse. An excuse that probably wasn't used last week.
Do you expect him to be great at 43? Let's hear what Mike Greenberg has to say. Mike Greenberg has a different account of the problems in Tampa.
Bruce Arians, it is falling apart around him, and he's the only one who doesn't see it. Tony Romo's begging him on television. What are you doing to Tom Brady? To put up with all of the nonsense that he has put up with this year from Bruce Arians, who himself, I guarantee you, is sitting there saying, you know, every play I dials up, touchdown. If quarterback could just throw it out there, we'd score. No risk it, no biscuit. No clue. You've blown it. The Buccaneers have blown it. They did everything right and called everything wrong. They have the right pieces in place. They have the right quarterback. They had the time. They had everything in place to win it this year. And they've just done it wrong. And that's on the coach. Has Brady been perfect? No. But he hasn't been the problem. If you're watching that team and you think Tom Brady is the problem, then I don't know what it is you think you're seeing. The problem with that team is the offensive scheme and philosophy, and that is the coach. That's the problem in Tampa.
So says Mike Greenberg. So what is the problem with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting there at 7-5? You want my answer? Here you go. Not a damn thing. Who are they losing to over the course of this season? I count one game that they lost that they should have won against the Chicago Bears, and I felt that at the time. I was disgusted. They lost by a point. They had no business falling to the Bears. Every other game that they've lost, who are they playing? The Saints twice, the Rams and the Chiefs. What do all those teams have in common? Oh, that's right. They've the continuity. They've been together quite a long time. You've got Tom Brady, new system. You got a bunch of new places trying to integrate Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, etc. over and over and over again. And if you remember, when we made our season predictions in the NFL, I said 11-5 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, what is their record right now? It's 7-5. Who's left on their schedule? The Vikings, the Falcons, the Lions, and the Falcons. Folks, the Bucs are going to finish 11-5. The prediction of them finishing 11-5 is going to be right on point. And the violin is playing. Violin is playing here in honor of my Tom Brady swan song.
You don't understand. Tom is 43. That's what's wrong. 43.
You know what's so unfortunate about this, folks, and doing this show at home is I don't have the sound effects by me so that I can get Lonzo back for when he's crying like a little bee about his Buckeyes coming up here.
Like you would remember how to push those buttons or ever knew how in the first place.
Probably not. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the Bucks. I think the Bucks are right where they should be, honestly. We predicted they would be 11-5. I think they're going to be 11-5. And I do not foresee an issue with them finishing 11-5. Getting closer, 27-24 yesterday. Last two losses, 27-24 to the Rams, 27-24 to the Chiefs. The latter coming against the best team in the National Football League. All right, coming up next. Texter says they won't beat Atlanta twice. We'll see. Coming up next on the show, if you were a prime coaching candidate, if you were the next young flavor of the month in college football, would the South Carolina job interest you? This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
By the way, you know, you could just say kick it, because you still wait for it to say kick it, and it doesn't. You could just say kick it.
I didn't realize that I totally wait for the songs
you do,
like that.
You do
I,
that every single time. Yep.
Kick it! Let's go, baby! Let's keep it rolling. And Tyler in Greenville is up next, wants to chime in on this. Hey, Tyler, thanks for the call, pal. You're offsides.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great, man. Great. Good to hear from you.
Good, good. So... The South Carolina job. So I'm a, you know, lifelong Clemson football fan, and so kind of pains me to say this, but you know, the South Carolina job would be, I think, a good gig to take. You know, it's, you know, they have great donors, they have above average facilities, they're in a strong recruiting spot. You know, they'd be competing with a lot of schools around them, especially given that Clemson's kind of got a hold of the market right now. I just feel like they've been kind of teetering in like Tommy Bowden mode for the past 2 decades, just kind of on the verge of getting over the hump, but they haven't been able to. So I think with the right coach, you know, you have a couple of good, strong years of recruiting and possibly some good things can happen. Like I said, it's painful for me to say because I'm a Clemson fan, but in the same breath, you know, every time Clemson, you know, I've rooted, it's a love-hate relationship. Every time you see South Carolina lose, you love it, but when they win, it just makes that game at the end of the year that much more intriguing when you put two good clubs together.
So I'll ask you this, Tyler. I'll ask you this question, yeah. All right? Do you agree with the statement, true or false to this statement, South Carolina is a sleeping giant in college football?
I don't know. So short answer, false, but at the same time, true. I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but they get the right coach in there that's got strong ties to the SEC that can recruit, puts a good staff around him. You know, all of a sudden you start getting better facilities, more players want to come. I think that there's a pretty high ceiling for them. So that's kind of where I stand on that. But another thing, I kind of wanted to hear what you had to say about Notre Dame joining the ACC. So, you know, one part of it, I don't know how it would work. You know, I don't know the ins and outs, but I think they would have to add another team to even up the divisions. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But another thing that would kind of be interesting to see is how the, you know, Notre Dame's had that contract with NBC for, God, when Rudy Rudiger was playing back in the day. So, I don't know. That'd be interesting to see. It'd be interesting to see what plays out between the ACC network and NBC as far as the revenue sharing.
Sure.
If the ACC would get, you know, I don't know. But
you know, you remember when Texas
was
flirting?
Notre Dame would be losing money, so that might shy away from it. Sorry.
Do you remember
ahead.
when Texas was flirting with the Pac-12 and was considering leaving the Big 12? They basically the Big 12 mm-hmm. basically said we can't afford to lose Texas. Gave them a sweetheart deal where you know they have. They're able to make more money, have their own network. They're able to have their own rules, essentially, that, you know, they don't have to follow the rules that everyone else in the conference has to follow. To get Notre Dame, you might have to do something like that. You know, you might have to give Notre Dame a higher percentage of the money than the other teams in the league are getting. No even distribution here. And if you're Clemson, Tyler, that would tick you off because you're saying, well, wait a minute. If anyone should get the lion's share of the funds, it should be us. For what we've done for this league. But, you know, I don't see Notre Dame giving up their financial freedom. And so any prospective conference that is looking at, you know, securing their commitment will have to allow them to maintain their financial freedom, their deal with NBC, all of their licensing agreements 100%. And so forth.
Yeah, any other independent would be jump into a Power 5 conference any day of the week. But like you said, you know, Notre Dame is basically playing by their own rules right now, and their revenue coming in from NBC is just, I mean, it's an extremely lucrative deal. So I'll hang up and listen. Thank you guys for your time. Curious to see what you have to say about the South Carolina coaching position.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so very much. My belief is that Napier's the best choice of the five candidates. I think Satterfield's second best, Sarkisian's third best, Jamie Chadwell is fourth best, and Shane Beamer is fifth best. Let's keep it rolling, and Greg in Lineman wants to talk All Cupcakes Conference with us here. Greg, thanks so much for the call, pal. You're offsides.
Hey, man. So the thing, I'm a Notre Dame fan. And from a fan's perspective, I think it's a really bad idea for them to join the ACC. It's a love-hate relationship for me. I love the idea, and at the same time, I hate the idea because they've got a lot of rivalries with other conferences as well, like the Pac-12, Big Ten. They play USC pretty much every year. They play Michigan State, Michigan, and I like those games. I don't want them to go strictly to the ACC and have to play strictly ACC teams. So, but I have enjoyed this season. I think it's been a big win for him this year.
I think it's a big win for you every year. You know why? Because with your schedule, with the way you do your schedule at Notre Dame, an independent schedule, you lose one game, you have nothing to play for. Let's say you lose the third game of the year. You got nine games still to go. You're playing for nothing. If you're in a conference, at least you're playing to win the conference. Why not put them in the opposite division of Clemson and have those two teams be the favorite to meet in the ACC championship game every single year? Further, it looks like you think you're better than everybody. Not you personally, but Notre Dame. We're too good to be in a conference, man. I'll tell you, Greg, you might not like me after I tell you this, but I would have played hardball with Notre Dame. You're not going to use us for 1 year. You're not going to use us for 1 year just so you can have a schedule. If we're going to bend over backwards for you, you're going to commit to us full time. That's what I would have said to them.
I agree with you. If I was the ACC commissioner, I probably would have done the same thing. But I like the idea of Notre Dame playing Clemson every single year. I think that's great. But overall, I'm not really a fan of it. Like I said, it's a love-hate relationship.
You'd rather play Air Force every year?
No, not Air Force.
Army, Navy, every single year. Army, Navy, every single year. You'd rather play those guys every year? Really?
Not every single year, but I love Navy. I love the Notre Dame Navy game. That's one of my favorites.
Okay. I just, man, make a commitment. You know, listen, dating around has its privileges, but when you make a commitment, Greg, when you make that commitment, boy, it pays you back tenfold. All right? That's all I'll say.
I could see the reward. I could see the reward, but I just like the rivalries that they have in the other conferences as well. So
great to hear from you, man. Great to hear from you indeed. Texter says Atlanta will retire Brady on the ground. You know, it's unbelievable how many Brady haters there are out there. I love to come up with exercises that people don't like. I love to put people in uncomfortable situations. For example, if you made Lonzo and this texter rank all the best quarterbacks of all time, where is Brady on their list? If he's not in the top five, if he's not in the top 10, they probably shouldn't have a job in sports media, right?
Where does he rank on the quarterbacks that are playing right now? Who cares about in history?
Sixth or seventh.
You think so?
Sixth or seventh, yeah.
Is that good enough to win the Super Bowl?
It is good enough to win the Super Bowl, but the Bucks aren't good enough to win the Super Bowl. Lonzo, the team isn't good
After
enough.
All we heard, all the hype we heard before the season started about how just go ahead and pencil them in, I mean, come on.
Lonzo, yours truly said 11-5. They will be 11-5, okay? All right, coming up next on the show, Lonzo and I will put up our dukes because there is absolutely positively no way that if the Buckeyes miss another game because of COVID, that they should be playing in anything other than the scrubbing bubbles toilet bowl. That Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson boxing match is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic to have you guys with us on a Monday edition of the show. So do you guys remember Dan and Dave? If I say to you Dan and Dave, what comes to mind? What if I said to you Dan and Dave in a sports sense? What comes to mind? Do you remember the massive marketing campaign by Nike and the U.S. Olympic Committee? These were two guys that were decathletes, and they were just going to dominate the world. And Dan O'Brien was number one, and Dave, I can't remember his last name, was number two. And these guys were just going to wipe the floor with everybody in kind of the Olympics version of the Ironman Challenge, right? 10 different events. Well, what happened? It never materialized, and a multi-million dollar marketing campaign fell by the wayside. Why? Because Dan O'Brien could not clear the bar with the pole vault at the U.S. Olympic trials. You see, to make the Olympics, a prerequisite was you had to meet certain marks in different events. Now, there was no way Dan O'Brien was going to fall short in sprints. There was no way he was going to fall short in the shot put, fall short in the high jump, anything involving, you know, things that you didn't, events that you couldn't psych yourself out on, right? Like, you can run fast. There's no way to psych yourself out of a time. But he psyched himself out with the pole vault, and he didn't clear it, and he ended up not qualifying for the Olympics. And a multi-million dollar advertising campaign by Nike went poof. All because Dan O'Brien did not meet the minimum requirements. And you know what? That was the right call. He didn't qualify. He didn't qualify. Ladies and gentlemen, Ohio State is in a very similar predicament right now in the Big Ten. You see, the Big Ten has this rule, and they made the rule. And the rule says that you got to play in at least six games to be eligible for the conference championship. There are 2 weeks left for the Ohio State Buckeyes to play two games. And there are a whole host of positive COVID tests that they have within the program right now, not the least of which is their head coach, Ryan Day. From all that I hear and glean, Ryan Day's case hasn't been too bad thus far. But he is dealing with it nonetheless. And so Ohio State has Michigan State coming up on December 5th. They have Michigan coming up on December 12th. And if they don't meet the standard for play according to the Big Ten and they miss one of these two games, then they should not play in the Big Ten championship game and they should not play in the college football playoff. Now, Lonzo, I'd love your thoughts on this, but I just know it's going to be so predictable. And one complaint that I have about you is I just wish sometimes you could be a little bit objective. You know, like, if this wasn't your team, what would you say? What would you think? The answer is you got to understand, you got to admit there's a minimum standard here. You got to play six games. If Ohio State can't play six games, they don't belong in the Big Ten championship and they don't belong in the college football playoff.
One thing you're consistent about is constantly trying to misrepresent my character. And so I give you that. And you're doing that again here. What it comes down to is if they don't make the prerequisite amount, then they don't make it. I mean, you know, and it will be sad and it'll be another thing to chalk up to COVID. But these rules were brought about by the Big Ten, which means the Big Ten could change the rules, and they will. If for some reason Ohio State doesn't have enough games, they can't do that. You can say you can't do something, but you're not in charge, and they are, and they absolutely can and will do that to get Ohio State into the playoff. And you even said, and you've said consistently week in and week out, that Ohio State deserves to be there. So now you're saying they don't deserve because they don't play enough games. And if in the end that happens and they don't make it, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to be a little bit sad. I'm not going to be going off and yelling and screaming and everything, even though it probably would be entertaining. I'm not going to do that. If they stick with the rules they have now and Ohio State doesn't make it, it's COVID's fault. It's not Ohio State's fault. It's no one else's fault. It's COVID's fault. And if they don't make it, they don't make it. And I'm sitting here with an Ohio State shirt on right now. Do I want them to make it? Yes, I do. I want them to make the playoff. I want Clemson to make the playoff. I want Ohio State to play Clemson. And why would you want to do that? Ohio State's never beat Clemson. Exactly. Because I want them to beat Clemson, and they're not going to do it if they don't play them. So I want them to make it, but if they don't, I mean, what's me whining and crying going to do? It's not going to stop anything from happening. And they put the rules out there. If they keep the rules as they are and they don't make it, well, it's COVID's fault. But I bet they change the rules.
Well, I would say, you know, you can do all the right things with COVID and you can still get it. You can wear a mask. You can socially distance. You can still get COVID. But as a program, Lonzo, I would say, you know, I think you're missing the boat a little bit just saying that it's bad luck. It's COVID's fault. Boston College, all right? Since that team began workouts in June, they've given their football team 8,000 COVID tests and not one has been positive. Jeff Hafley is the first-year head coach there. I tweeted about this on Saturday. I said, this is what leadership looks like. Imagine the protocols that they have in place there. If you're Ryan Day, you think you might want to study that a little bit?
Well, let's mention something a little closer to home. How many cases has Clemson had? They've had a ton, and it's not just been one time. It's been several times. Even Trevor Lawrence has missed. So I think you're doing that thing again, and you can't really do that. It, as you just pointed out, you can do everything right, and you can still get it. And until this week, Ohio State had been COVID-free. So it just hit them at the wrong time. And there are other teams that's probably going to hit at the wrong time, too, as we close down the season. But you and I and no one out there other than the people on the college football committee know what their criteria is going to be this year. And we don't know that Ohio State winning the Big Ten championship is what they have to do to make it. They could already be in with what they've done so far.
I don't think so.
But, again, you don't think so. But you don't know because you're not a member of the committee and neither am I.
So let me ask you guys this question. With the knowledge that there, you know, life isn't fair and that there are different rules for different people, how do you guys think the Big Ten could and should change the rules to get Ohio State into the Big Ten championship game? Do you think that would feel legitimate? Do you think that would feel on the up and up?
You know what? It doesn't matter if it feels that way. If they make it in, they make it in.
Do you think the playoff committee would put in an Ohio State team that didn't play in its conference championship game? My firm belief, and again, look, I'm wrong on this show on a daily basis. You guys all know this. But my firm belief is that if they don't play Michigan State on 12-5 and they don't play Michigan on 12-12, that they won't be in the college football playoff and they won't be in the Big Ten championship game. That is my belief. That is my expectation at this point. So what are you going to see? You're going to see an Ohio State program behaving very differently than Florida State is playing right now. What did I say last week about Florida State? I said, man, the standard to play was met by Clemson according to the ACC's protocols, and Florida State backed out when Clemson met the standard. And then I said, they're not going to play another game this year. Why? Because if they wouldn't play for one positive case, how the hell are they going to play another game this year? Well, what happened? Their game against Virginia was canceled. Their game against Duke has been canceled this week. Folks, Florida State is done. They're not playing because they set a very dangerous precedent for themselves.
They were done a long time ago.
Yeah, they were done before the season began. But they set a very dangerous precedent for themselves when they decided to push out of the Clemson game. You can't do that. You just can't do that. Best thing we heard today, coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. A texter, Tiger Norm, says Michigan should pull a Florida State University on Ohio State University. Wouldn't that be something? Lonzo said earlier in the show he thinks it would be funny. I don't think Lonzo would be laughing too much, though, if Michigan peaced out.
Actually, I would. I would. That's what I would expect of my rival. I think that is a rival move. And I think it would be funny. I just do.
Michigan sucks, man. They're awful.
They do. They do. The result would be the same whether they play or not.
Michigan should never be 2-4 in a league that has Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan State, Indiana, Minnesota, Purdue, Illinois. You should never be 2-4 in a league that has those teams, man. All right, time for the best thing we heard today. Speaking about things that should never happen, you realize what Iowa State's done this year? There's a lot of Gamecock fans that wish Matt Campbell, their head coach, would be a candidate for the job, but that would honestly be a step down, Iowa State to South Carolina. Why? Well, for the first time ever, and think about how amazing this is, Iowa State has beaten Oklahoma and Texas in the same year. Does Iowa State have any business beating Texas? Texas has its own bloody network, for crying out loud. Beat Texas and Shane Ellinger, Tom Herman, this weekend. Beat Lincoln Riley, Spencer Rattler, and Oklahoma earlier in the season. All because of Matt Campbell. So how does he do the magic that he does? Well, by keeping it real with his team after the game, just like this.
Yeah, well, I don't have that clip because I don't believe you sent it to me.
Oh no, it's the best thing we heard today, Lonzo. It is in your, direct message. So
really, because I didn't see it in a direct message, and we wouldn't have had time to play it anyway because it's right at the end of the hour, and you talked about it way too long teasing it. So.
There you go. So we'll see if we have it during the break. Lonzo, it's directly above the Nia Jax nonsense that you sent me. It should be directly above that in your DMs. But, all right, coming up next, we are jam-packed with the final hour of the program today. Would you seriously consider the South Carolina Gamecocks job if you were the next it thing in college football? We'll tackle that next here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.